receive this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior, we bless your name. Thank you. Awesome God, awesome God, awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As we worship the Lord this morning in the beauty of holiness, we are open for Him to really just pour out and release to His people all that we have the faith to take possession of. God is always filling vessels that are yielded to Him. And as we've shared before, that widow who found herself in great debt, so much so that the creditors wanted to come and take her sons, take her children off to debtor's prison. The man of God told her to borrow vessels, not a few. And as she borrowed those vessels and they collected the vessels, God began to fill each of her vessels with oil. And as long as she had vessels, the oil kept flowing. You know the account. But once she got to the last vessel, once it was filled, the oil stopped. He said, now take this to your creditors and pay them off and then live on the rest. The story here is, the account is that as long as we have capacity, God will fill. But the moment we shut off and close off our vessels, then the oil, the anointing, the favor, the blessing, the power stops. Because while God is extravagant, God is not wasteful. I want to say it again. God can be very extravagant. You read in the Word, even as He gave instructions for how the tabernacle was supposed to be constructed, the vessels and the temple, gold and silver and precious things that God created. God can be very lavish and very extravagant, but He is not wasteful. If we keep opening up, saints, He'll keep filling. But if we shut off to God, He's not going to let the anointing flow. He's not going to let the oil flow because He will not have anything wasted. Jesus blessed 3 fish and 5 barley loaves. And the Bible says they fed 5,000 men plus the women and children. Then He said, take up the fragments, that none be lost. And they took up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. God will give us more than enough, but He will not waste anything. So this morning, even as the word goes forth, if it goes forth, keep receiving. Open up your hearts by faith and keep receiving and watch God keep pouring. And keep releasing and keep imparting as long as we will trust Him. Amen. To fill our cups to overflowing. David said, He anoints His head with oil, His cup runneth over. His cup runneth over. Well, David, you need the bigger cup. Amen. In other words, get a bigger cup and watch it run over. Then get a bucket and let it run over. Get a keg. You know y'all beer drinkers. Get a keg and let them fill the keg. And then get something bigger. What? I don't know. A swimming pool. Just keep getting a capacity and let God keep filling. We will never exhaust God. Can't be done. There are no limits. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. He is all-encompassing. He is the God who has made everything, and he is contained by nothing. Even time and eternity are in God. But he is outside of it all. So today, let's be receivers. Let's be receivers. Let's be receivers. Even now, in the airwaves, broadcasts are going forth on all kinds of bandwidths, all kinds of ways that things and light and sound and communications travel. And you can't always pick it up because we don't have the right receiver. We're not on the right frequency. But all you got to do is tune into the right frequency. It'll come in. So let's get on God's frequency. Amen. On the frequency of faith, the currency of the kingdom, and trusting God even as we're speaking. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3. I might hit a couple of verses in chapter 4. Then we're going to wrap up. And the reason we're here is because in Proverbs, like, you know, throughout the scripture, God gives wise counsel as the writer receives from father and mother. Wise instruction and counsel and sayings, sage instructions designed to help them mature and grow up and to be successful and victorious in life. You know, there are many questions that human beings have. We want to know who we are. We want to know why we're here. We want to know what the purpose of things are. And people are constantly searching and digging and seeking out and grasping and exploring for truth and for answers to those questions. And in the Word of God and by revelation of the Holy Spirit, God answers those questions and he reveals the purpose and the will of everything. So we are encouraged to spend time in the scriptures, to seek out the Word of God, where we can really get light and illumination and understanding and wisdom and wise counsel. And so in the book of Proverbs, written, attributed to King Solomon, who again is considered the wisest man to have ever lived aside from Jesus Christ, full of wisdom, full of sound instructions, things that he had learned over his lifetime that that God had opened up to him, things that he had learned from his father, David, things that he had learned from his mother, other things that God allowed him to know, to understand, many to experience, others just to grasp the truths behind. And now the Holy Spirit moves for these things to be collected and for them to be written. It's not all wisdom and all knowledge, because all wisdom and all knowledge reside in God himself. But it is wisdom and knowledge and revelation that God has given so that the readers, the hearers, would be able to glean and gain instruction again and counsel and guidance and direction to succeed in life, not to squander the precious lives that we've been given. And so we're going to look at just a few verses, and I always encourage us to just to spend time in the Word of God. So young people, I know you're here, you sung beautifully and you've served so well. We appreciate your ministry. I'm asking you to listen for just a few minutes. Just a few minutes, because God wants to help us grow. He wants to keep us safe. He wants us to be victorious in life. He doesn't want us to fall into the traps and the pitfalls that the enemy, that Satan, has designed for our destruction. You know, Jesus said, as recorded in John chapter 10, he said, "There's a thief, and that thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." God's plan for Jesus' coming is to give mankind the most, the best overflowing life that a person can experience, not only in this life, but then into eternity. Satan, operating often through human agency, comes to steal, to exploit, to kill, to destroy. If we're thinking rationally, we'll choose the right one. Unfortunately, there are scores and scores of people that are still making the wrong choice. They're still choosing to follow the world's ways instead of getting connected to the true and living God, the life giver. And so here are some instructions given to King Solomon. And like I said, we're not going to be extremely long, but I want to just highlight some of them. I'm reading from the International Children's Bible. It's one of Elder's favorites, so I think I'll pull it out and read a few verses from it this morning. And starting in verse 1, my child, do not forget my teaching. Keep my commands in mind. Then you will live a long time and your life will be successful. If we stopped right there, that would be enough. A father, someone who has life's experiences, and not only a father, but a man of God, a king who has had experiences with God throughout his lifetime, is giving wise counsel to his son. And in these instructions, he tells his son not to forget the things that I'm teaching you. Keep my commands, keep my instructions in your mind. Focus on them. Think about them. Kind of meditate in them. Consider the instructions that I've given you, because there are benefits in doing so. He goes on to write, then you will live long, a long time, and your life will be successful. Both have benefits, but they need to work together. See, there are some people that haven't lived a long time, unfortunately, but they've had some degree or modicum of success. There are some other people that have lived a long time chronologically, you know, 100, 80, 90, 95, 105, 17. You can find people that have lived a long time, but their lives may have been filled with trouble and turmoil and agony and grief and poverty. They lived long, but not necessarily well. God's desire for humanity and a father and mother's desire for their children is that they experience both. I want you to live a long life, and I want that lengthy life to be a life of victory and success, a life well lived. That's what David imparted to Solomon. That's what Solomon is conveying in this statement. He said, listen, my son, I want you to remember what I told you. Want you to think about those things. And it says son, but it's child, son and daughter. Want you to think about the instructions that I've given you, because they're going to help you live a long time and that life will be successful. Don't stop being kind and truthful. Let kindness and truth show in all you do. Folks, this really is a wise instruction, because we know that kindness is a virtue. Kindness is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Being kind exhibits the nature of God, because God is loving and God is kind. Kindness serves us well, Because, again, it reveals that we recognize how good and kind God is. And we want to be like our Heavenly Father. And so we are to exhibit that character trait of kindness. Young people, learn to be kind. Or should I say, continue to be kind. Because all of the young people that I have ever encountered, and I haven't encountered them all, but they've had a kindness about them. They had a kind spirit. They had a kind heart. They'll come and give you anything they got, even if it's a piece of candy they picked up off the ground. They'll come and say, here. They'll give you their last. They want to be kind and exhibit that trait. But over time, having to deal with so much other stuff and being exposed to nastiness and selfishness and anger and all these other things, we can be affected negatively by it and pick up bad traits, bad characteristics, bad ways of doing things. And the lesson writer reminds them to keep that kindness. Never stop being kind. And never stop being truthful. Don't become untruthful. Don't pick up a lying spirit. And be a person, be a child that just starts lying. Just lying to be lying. Just lying, you know, because those things are, for one part, it's a part of even the fallen nature. Many times we pick up those things too easily. The negative, the bad stuff. Whereas the good things have to constantly be taught and affirmed and reaffirmed and reasserted. Because of the nature, the fallen nature of man. It says that the heart of man is woefully, deceitfully, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Because of the fallen nature of man, those things, those propensities to do those types of things just happen. You sometimes wonder, where in the world did this child just start lying from? Where did they pick that up from? Huh? Yeah, where did it come from? Those things are often in the heart of fallen man. That's for another reason we need to be born again. Because once we're born again, we become a new creation, and God deals with all of those things that aren't like Him. All of those characteristics and character traits and habits and so on. He says, but be kind. Never stop being truthful. Let kindness and truth show in all that you do. Young and old and anywhere in between. Let's exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Let's be kind to others. The Bible even says, be kindly affectionate one to another. Let's learn to be kind. Let's do it on purpose. Let's not purposely be mean. And, you know, because we, you know, sometimes we pick up these things as defense mechanisms. We've been hurt. We've been disappointed. You know, we don't want anybody to take advantage of us. So we can get kind of hard and short and snappy and stuff. And, you know, but the word instructs us to be kind to people. Don't be a pushover. You're not letting people walk over you. We're just learning that kindness, having a kind heart, is an innate aspect of our nature in God. To be kind. It doesn't hurt to be kind. In fact, it helps to be kind. In so many ways. Also in the fact that you reap what you sow. So if you sow kindness, you reap kindness. If we sow nastiness, you'll reap that as well. So, just a few more verses. We're not going to do all 30 some odd of these verses, I don't think. How many is 35? I don't think so. Verse number 4. Then, well, let's go down to number 3. Where are we, number 3? Don't ever stop being kind and truthful. Let kindness and truth show in all you do. Write them down in your mind as if on a tablet. Write them in your mind as if on a tablet or in your heart. I'm to be kind because God is kind to me. I'm to be kind because I want to exhibit this character of my God and of my Lord. I'm to be kind because I reap what I sow. Some things we need to purposely process. And I think sometimes in this, you know, have it now world, we want everything so fast, we don't stop to meditate in the Word and just let it soak in. But that's what meditation is. The Bible says that we're to meditate in God's Word, Psalm 1, day and night. To meditate means to mutter, means to utter. It means to take the Word, get it in your mouth, say it over and over again, mutter it to yourself. This is what the Word of God is saying. As we mutter that Word, it's going from our mouths, it's going into our minds, it's going into our spirit man. As we mutter it, as we meditate it, as we rehearse it over and over again. So he says, as we meditate on these things, they'll become a part of us. And we'll find that we're doing them because they're in us. It's not something that's fake. It's not something that we're doing with ulterior motives, trying to get something from people. Huh? God wants his people to be genuine. He wants us to be genuine. He wants us to be like him. He doesn't want us to be fake and phony and having a facade while we're scheming. He wants us to be authentic. He wants us to be real, saints. He wants us to be like him. And so he teaches us how, then he gives us the ability when he gives us his spirit. Just stay with me for a few minutes longer. Write them on the hearts, on your minds, as if you're writing them on a tablet. Huh? You know. People talk about writing things down helps them to remember. Writing them on your mind helps you to remember. Writing them in our heart helps us to remember. Then the Holy Spirit will bring it to our remembrance. Right? This is practical for the people of God. You know? I don't want a theoretical relationship. I don't want to have a head knowledge only of what the Lord expects of us. We want this thing to be so much a part of us that we're doing these things every day in our lives. Not just talking about it. James said we're not only to be hearers of the word, but we're to be what? Doers also. We're to do this word, not just hear it. So here we are, verse number 4. Then you will be respected and pleasing to both God and men. Then we'll gain the respect and please God and men. You remember in the scripture it talked about Jesus as a boy having favor with God and with man. That's how God wants us to journey through this life. We have the favor of God, the blessing of God, we're pleasing God, and because of that, God puts us in position to have the favor of men. People favoring you, people doing things on your behalf, people opening doors for you, people giving you access that other people can't gain just because of the person that we are and the Spirit of God being seen operative in operation in our lives. Favor with God and with man. As we've said many times, favor is better than money. Favor, I'd rather have favor than money. Because sometimes I may not have enough money. But if I got favor, I can still get it. I can still get access. Sometimes you've been in places you may really want to go to that game. Can't get a ticket. You might really want to go to that concert, but it's sold out. Can't get a ticket. Then somebody with favor calls you and said, look, I got tickets to, I'm not going. I thought about you. You want these tickets. Favor. You show up at the event because the Holy Spirit says go. Don't worry about how you're going to get in. Don't worry. Just go. And when you get there, the usher or somebody says, come on, I got a seat for you. And everybody else been standing in line all week trying to get in. And the usher brings you down front and sits you down in the front of the place. Favor. Favor. Even in the simple things, you're going somewhere riding around. The parking lot is full, 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 full. And you loop on round front and here comes somebody pulls right out just for you. Favor. Favor. Better than money. God says he'll give you favor with him and with man. You'll be pleasing to him. And with man, he will honor you and man will honor you too. That's folks, when we seek to do what's right. Stop taking shortcuts. We take too many shortcuts. Too many shortcuts. All right. I'll leave that one alone. I'll leave the shortcuts one alone. All right. Now trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord, young people, older saints, saints at any age and stage of our growth and development. Learn to put our confidence in the Lord and not depend upon our own understanding. Our understanding is limited. Sometimes our understanding of things is faulty. It's an error. We're not thinking straight. We're not acting right. We don't always assess things properly. We don't have all the information. We don't know the ins and outs. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't have access to all of that. But God knows everything. So the word instructs us to trust in the Lord completely, not just in our heads, but in our hearts. Believe God. Trust God. How do we develop this belief and trust? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we really want to learn to trust God, we need to spend time in his word. And we need to walk with him daily. Because the more we walk with him, the more we see God proving himself over and over again. We used to sing the song, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him over and over. As we walk with God, God manifests himself. He proves that he is God. He demonstrates that he is faithful. He demonstrates that he's with us, that he's on our side, that he's for us, so that we can trust him even more. Trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, and not default, not lean, not to depend on our own understanding. Some people think they are know-it-alls, or they act like they know it all. They know everything. They know. They just know it all. I know that. I understand all that. No, that ain't right. You can't do that. You know. You can't succeed like that. That leads to failure after failure after failure. But the more we trust God, he will guide us and direct us. You know, they talk about men not wanting to ask for directions and get lost. Some women get lost too, y'all. But no, I know where I'm going. I don't need no direction. I don't need no map. I got this. I know you go down here. You make the left turn around here. And all. Didn't we just pass this tree? Didn't we pass this building about 5 minutes ago? And we're still going around. lean into their own understanding. Huh? But I don't have to worry about that because I got GPS. Yeah. GPS can take you all around the place too. You know. Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you got one of those old cars with the, that they had to load the GPS on it. That thing ain't been updated in 5 years. It's a whole lot of streets now that the GPS, that thing won't even pick up. You think you're going to Richmond, Virginia, and that thing trying to take you to Richmond, California somewhere. You said, what? How I get out here? Tell you, go down here and turn left, and the left a dead end. I can't turn left. So anyway, we better learn to trust God. Because God can direct us safely. That's the point. That's the point. He wants to navigate us through life safely. A lot of the pitfalls, a lot of stuff that we've experienced could have been avoided if we had just listened. And I'm not just talking to God now. I'm talking to about parents or adults or even a friend that had been through some of the similar things that's trying to warn us. You know, sometimes folks come for counseling, so-called counseling. They don't really want counseling. They just want you to listen to them. They don't want no counsel. Some of them, they just want you to listen to their grievances and what's going on with them and all the stuff that's happening. And then you try to give something from the word. Yeah, 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 I know that. But no, you, what you come for? what you come for if you don't want to listen? Just when I had to get something off my chest, I guess. I just need to talk to somebody and all my other friends won't talk to me. They screen into my calls. So let me call and talk to the pastor. Maybe he'll, you know, no. We got to learn to listen to wise counsel, even if you decide not to take it. Even if I decide once I've listened, and once I've thought about it and consider it, I decide to do something else, we should still listen. He says, my son, listen. Remember what I've told you. Listen. Young people, learn to listen. And not just say, I heard you. Learn to listen. If our ears are working right, you can hear sound. But that doesn't necessarily mean you know what the sound is, where it came from. We can hear words, but that doesn't necessarily mean I understood what was being said. Got to learn to listen. That's for us as adults as well. And this is just my own personal thing, but I think it'll help us. If you're at home, stop trying to do three things at one time. Stop having the TV talking, your cell phone talking, and you know, and then you're trying to do all that. That's too much confusion that's going on in your space. So you got the TV on, and you know, I had to catch myself. I might have the TV on, I might be looking at news, then you know they have the, what is it, the Krylon that runs around. So they're talking about one thing, then you got the other thing streaming across the bottom of the screen, then you got your phone and you're flipping through looking at stuff on, that's too much. It's too much. We need to learn just to stop. Sometimes cut it all off and just be still and listen and let the Holy Spirit talk with us. Or if you're doing one thing, focus on that one thing. Give it your attention. Work with it. Deal with it. Consider it. But let's not be scattered all over the place. Anyway, I just put that one in there for free. All right, let's get back to where we are. All right, so what verse are we on? Verse number 6 again. So he says, remember the Lord in everything you do. Well, don't depend on your own understanding. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will give you success. Remember the Lord. Consider the Lord. submit what we want to do to the Lord. That will help us immensely if we just submitted it to the Lord. This is what I'm thinking about doing. Lord, what you say about it? Some of the stuff, we get our answer right away. I know the Lord don't want me to do this. That would eliminate a lot of the stuff right there. Lord, how should I? Oops. I know the Lord don't want me to do this. Huh? Amen. I know the Lord don't want me dating that married man. I don't need to, you know, I already got the answer to that or that married woman. See, we can't make it practical. We can't make it real. I know I'm not supposed to do this. I already know that. So now if I think this thing through, well, what's I already know it. I mean, if I do it, it's going to be displeasing to God. That's one strike right there. I know it already. If I do this, there are going to be some other consequences. What would be the potential consequences? I might do this and I might get, you know, this might make me sick, or I might do this and I know I shouldn't do this because I've been, you know, I shouldn't be taking this because I've taken some medication. And also, if we think it through. Amen. And reason some things through, submitting it to God, now we're left with a choice. Am I going to still do this? Or should I refrain from this? At least we've given it consideration. Come on, go with me. We're going to hang out somewhere. Last time I hung out with you, you got wasted. You sideswiped a car coming down the street, you know. Maybe I shouldn't hang out with you. You know, we need to start thinking through some stuff. Too much is depending upon the decisions that we make, the choices that we make, just to be going through life haphazardly. It's time for us to start growing up. Young people, same for you. You may not be able to do it at the level of wisdom of an adult. But there are some things we've learned, especially those of you that are in church. You've been exposed to the Word of God. You've been exposed to truth. You've been exposed to the Scripture. There are some things we just need to think about, young people. You read in the Scripture, you know, if you're age 12 and 13, you can get pregnant. You need to think about that stuff. In addition to, it's not pleasing to God if you're contemplating having sex. You'd be thinking about this stuff and then making some choices and say, listen, if I do this anyway, God's not going to be pleased. I could get pregnant. I could get an STD. I'm giving myself to somebody. I'm just a child. You should consider this stuff. And not just go with my girls or with the boys because it's time to lose our virginity. We all made a pact. We're going to do all this stuff together. Then you go through with it and talk to your girls. She said, no, I was scared. I didn't do it. Amen. No, I was scared. I didn't do it. Did you do it? No, girl, I ain't do it either. Yes, you did. Now you're embarrassed. Come on, is this real? God wants his people to succeed in life. He wants us to avoid all of these pitfalls by making stupid decisions. One bad decision. Who was it in the news recently? I think it was a child in North Carolina, 13 years old, murdered, 13 or 14 years, murdered some people. 13, 14 years old. You need to start now. Learning to make wise decisions and know that there are consequences. You can't say, well, I'll just be a child until I get 18, 20, 25, 30, then I'll grow up. No, it's time to start using wisdom or learning to make better choices now. No. Again, in the Hebrew tradition and other traditions, children, once they transitioned from 12 to 13, they took on that, they became more accountable. So they have their ceremony, their bar mitzvahs or their bat mitzvah for the girls, where they become more accountable. It's a coming of age type of ceremony that they go through, where they're now accountable. They need to begin to know God more for themselves, to be better acquainted and search and study the scriptures, and then start making decisions as they start maturing in life. You can't wait till you're 25 and 30 and 35. We got to start now, or else a whole generation can be snatched out of our hands. Young people, you got to consider where you're going and who you're going with. Not trying to scare anyone. We're trying to give you wisdom. They are snatching people off the streets and selling them into slavery and into sexual slavery. You got to be wiser these days. The Bible says we're to be wise as serpents and still harmless as doves. It's time to make better decisions, better choices. So it's time to start. You got to start listening. And not thinking you know it all. You haven't lived long enough to know it all. You don't know much or nothing. All right. Oh, I didn't know we were going to talk about this today. All right. Here. What y'all do with my word? Oh, there it is. All right, let's see here. Verse number 7. Don't depend on your own wisdom. Respect the Lord and refuse to do wrong. Then your body will be healthy and your bones will be strong. Respect the Lord, not depending on your own wisdom. At whatever age we are, saints, there is a worldly wisdom, and then there's a wisdom that comes from God. And the two aren't comparable. The wisdom of God is so far beyond the world's wisdom, it's just crazy. Even in Isaiah 55, God says, "For my ways are not your ways, neither are your thoughts my thoughts. But as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's wisdom is so far superior, saints, to even the so-called wisdom of this world. And there are people that live their whole lives seeking worldly wisdom, trying to understand mysteries and deep things. And they spend their fortune. They spend their lives. Some spend all of their health trying to find wisdom in the world, which really is deceptive. It's the wisdom that comes from God that gives his people life and security and protection and prosperity and peace and blessing and favor. And it's time to start now, young people. Time to start now. Like I say, I'm not saying you gotta, you know, just fully immerse yourself in only the Word of God. I mean, that's good. That's a good pursuit. But whatever time we submit to God, it'll help you even interacting with your friends. It'll help you when you're going to school and you got to deal with that bully. It'll help you when you're confronted with whether I should cheat on this test or not. It'll help us when we get ready to decide, am I going out with these friends or am I sick? Everybody that says they're your friend isn't. They're not. You know, who is this? My friend? Who is she? Who is he? See, parents used to ask that stuff. Where you going? What their mama? Who their mama? Who their daddy is? Yeah. What church they go to? Where they live? What's the phone number in case I need to call? Yeah, the kids just go. We let them go anywhere with whoever, wherever they are. And, you know, you look up, where you at? I'm in Detroit. When you get to Detroit? You didn't even tell me you were going nowhere. What you doing in Detroit? Safety, folks. Safety. Wisdom. The Bible says in all you're getting, get wisdom. Get the wisdom that comes from God. Well, what is wisdom? It's not always easy to define, but it's really learning how God wants us to live the best life. It's making wise decisions that will lead to the will of God being manifested in us. It's deliberating on things. It's pondering things. It's thinking about consequences. Anybody play chess? I see 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, good. More than I thought. That's good. How many moves typically ahead are you in the match? I mean, when you're considering and looking at the board, what's the highest move count you've gotten to? Anybody? 2 to 3. Okay, that's good. You know, there are some chess masters that they could be 25, 30, how else? 40 moves on the board. So they've already studied it out. They've already considered, if you do this, I'm going to do this, and you move this pawn, I'm going to move my rook, I'm going to do my knight. They've already considered and mapped this thing out strategically, moves and moves ahead. Well, that's how we're supposed to live many times in the spirit. You got to think about things. We've got to consider what we're doing and not just do stuff. If I do this, what are the consequences? And then weigh it. Then make your decision. And if you still decide, okay, I'm going on, then be prepared for the consequences. Does that make sense? How else are we going to succeed and really navigate life successfully if we don't think about what we're doing, saints? Where we're going, who we're hanging with, how we're investing our time, how we're investing our money. Amen. Who am I engaged with, involved with? Who are you sleeping with? Who are you sleeping with? Right? Because you're sleeping with everybody they done slept with. And everybody they done slept with, right? So God wants you to be in a covenant relationship. One man, one woman covenanted together in God's covenant of marriage. The holy covenant of God. For our good. For our protection. For our well-being. For our state and frame of mind. For our health. That's if we really want this life that God says we can have. Now, if you don't care, then just keep on doing what you're doing. But if you really care, and if we really realize that generations are connected to the decisions and choices that we make, it's not just me. I'm not an isolated man on an island unto myself, but there are people connected to me. And some of the decisions and choices that I make today can have generational consequences. This is serious. I've been up here longer than I planned, but just give me a couple of more verses and then we'll stop. But God wants us to think, because he wants you to succeed. He doesn't want us to just be, you know, going, doing stuff in church and still spiritually illiterate and just spiritually weak and uninformed or misinformed or ill-informed. He wants us to know. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? Make you free. There is freedom and liberty in the truth. And God's word is truth. John 17, he said, sanctify them, set them apart by thy truth. Thy word is truth. The one of all the ages of all wisdom and knowledge and counsel and revelation and understanding wants his people to succeed in life. To live a good life, a purposeful life. So we've got to make some decisions and make some choices, and we need to start early. Amen. Or if you haven't started early, you can start today. Today. We can turn things around starting today. Amen? Amen? Amen. If you find out you're on the wrong road and you finally find out I'm going the wrong way, you're just going to keep going that way? It's one thing to make a mistake and end up on the wrong road you hadn't intended to take. But once you find out, do you just keep driving? Well, I'm on here now. I might as well. No, you get off an exit. You turn around. You stop and find out, where am I supposed to be? And then we get on the right road. Amen. So why, if we're journeying through life and we see that we're on the wrong road, we're making mistake after mistake, we keep falling short, we keep being hurt and disappointed and in despair, we keep messing up our money, messing up our families, messing up our jobs, why stay on that road to destruction? Get off! Turn around! Repent! And get back in agreement with God's will for our lives. Amen. All right, here we go, saints. You've been so patient. Verse number 9. Back to 8. Then your body will be healthy and your bones will be strong. Honor the Lord by giving him part of your wealth. Give him the first fruits from all your crops. Then your barns will be full. Your wine barrels will overflow with new wine. Now, I know most of us don't have wine barrels and vineyards and crops and all of that. It's really just saying whatever it is that God has given to us, has blessed us to us amass, give back to him. Amen. Give to him. One place says give him the first fruits. Give him the first part of that which he gives us. Most of us work, so we have income of some kind. So give him the first part of that income that he allows us to receive. Well, you know, I got to pay my bills first. After I pay my bills and pay my, you know, pay my car note and pay my housing, and after I pay all this stuff and after I do that, of course, I got to have my entertainment money, because, you know, after I work hard all week, brother got to go out and have a little fun sometimes. I mean, come on now. You know, I got to get my music. I got to, you know, I think I got $5. I'll put that in the offering when I go to church this Sunday. Is that how we honor God, who has given us everything that we have? And how we handle money is an indicator of where we are, how we handle the spiritual things of God. That's what Jesus said. He says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is, huh? And if we can't even handle money, he says, how are you going to handle true riches? Huh? If we don't know how to manage money, how are we going to handle the real riches of the spiritual things from God? If I won't honor him with my money, then I'm not going to really honor him like I should with everything else. Because I have an attachment to this money. I'm so attached to this money, y'all. I can go out all week and waste money, spend money, throw money away, than let somebody come in here and light a $1 bill on fire and folks will be cringing. Ooh, he burned up that money. You just went through $50, $200, $800, $1,000 and you worrying about me burning a dollar? And you just burned through your whole paycheck and you worrying about me setting 100 cents on fire? See, that's the mindset that we've got to get to the wisdom of God. I'm going to have to pick some of this up next week, the Lord willing, because this is too good to just have in one sing. Yeah. So let's get ready to wrap up here. He says, but if we honor him with what he's given us, giving him the first fruits, the first part, he says, your barns will be full. Your barrels will overflow with new wine. Other words, your bank accounts going to be fat. Your bank accounts are going to be fat. They're going to be running over, huh? Amen. And God's going to provide like he did for Deacon Tanya. And God will keep providing. Amen. And then he says your barrels will be running over with new wine, meaning new streams of resources coming into your pocketbooks, into your wallets. Huh? You'll be getting money from different sources. God will be blessing and giving favor as men give into your bosom as we give and as we do what God instructs us to do. When we honor him first, when we consecrate the part, he consecrates, he blesses the whole. I want to say it again. When we give him the first part, that blesses the whole lump. Okay? All right. Man. Here we go. My child, do not reject the Lord's discipline. Young people, don't reject the Lord's discipline. Don't become angry when he corrects you. The Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects the child that he likes. I like the way they put it in the Children's Bible, because it reads differently in the other translation. But he says, the Lord corrects those he loves, just like a father corrects those he likes. In other words, that his love for us is so much greater than even a father's love or mother's affection for their children. God loves you more. So if you know that your mama loves you, your daddy loves you, now just multiply that many times more. That's how much God loves us. And really, we could never reach it. We don't even know the depths of his love yet. That was one of the things that Paul wrote in Ephesians. He says that we might know, that we might comprehend that which is incomprehensible, that we can know what we can't know other than by the Spirit, the length, the depths, the breadth, the height of the love of God, which surpasseth all understanding, all knowledge. Huh? That's how much God loves us. And he says, if he loves you that much, he's going to correct us. Hebrews picks it up, the child that the father doesn't love, the child that the father loves, he picks it up from here, he chastens, he corrects, and if he doesn't correct you, you're illegitimate. You're not really his. Right? So correct me, Father, because I know you love me. Get me back on the right track so I won't head in the wrong direction and keep going there and end up in prison or end up dead or somewhere, end up losing my life. Correct me. Young people, don't get angry when you're corrected. Get angry when nobody corrects you. Get angry when people don't care enough to correct. Get angry when people just let you do whatever you want to do. That's when you get angry. Don't nobody love me enough to, nobody cares enough about me enough to tell me I'm going wrong. That's when you get angry. But when people want to love on you and correct, now I'm saying correcting us according to the word of God. I'm not just saying people giving you what they think about the matter. You want to understand, we're talking about what God says, not how I feel about it. But I don't think you should do that because is it scriptural? I don't think you should wear that to church. Who made you clothes monitor? Now, if you're going to say, you might want to change that or adjust that because you're revealing too much. And you're distracting. It's a distraction. I know we say they shouldn't look. But I mean, you know, I know this. Well, they shouldn't look. They should be focusing on God and shouldn't be looking at what I have on. Come on, folks. When you wore it to the club, you know they was going to look. Amen. You know, if all your chest hanging out, somebody going to look. And then you be talking about up here, up here. I'm right here, up here. But you can't. See, God's trying to help us. I know it's comical, folks, but we are saints of God. We ought to set a standard of how we comport ourselves, how we conduct ourselves. Yes, how we present ourselves. We're representing heaven, the kingdom of heaven, royalty. We are kings and priests. We're to set a standard. They used to tell me, dress for the job you want, not the one you got. Why can't we extrapolate that? Dress for the husband you want, not the man you got. Y'all funny. Come on, we got to go home, y'all. But I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm up here trying to preach. Y'all up there sitting, you know, dressed all the way up here. I'm still going to preach. Because I'm more mature now. But don't think it can't be distracting. Well, you're supposed to be in the spirit. You too. I'm going to stop here, folks, and then we may pick up next week, the Lord willing. Happy at 13, happy is the person who finds wisdom, and happy is the person who gets understanding. Here's the last part. Wisdom is more precious. It is more profitable than gold. It is more precious than rubies. Nothing you want is equal to it. Nothing you and I could ever want compares or measures up to getting God's wisdom and knowledge and understanding in life. Nothing you and I have ever desired is greater than getting the wisdom of God so that I can live life victoriously, successfully, triumphantly, and then please Him as I transition from this life into life eternal. Nothing that we desire compares to wisdom. And so, as we prepare to stop here, and we may pick up next week, because I mean, this is good stuff, and I just can't get it all in one. Just think about what we've said this morning, the funny stuff as well as all the other stuff, and then think about where we are personally in our maturity in the things of God. Even young people, you can start making some better decisions where you are now. The rest of us, we can start making better decisions today, trusting God today, changing our attitudes about things, and letting God lead us safely and securely from victory to victory, from faith to faith, from glory to glory as we grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.